Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Roundtable Network News. I'm your brother, franchise player, Double B Babble, and I'm joined by the Drew Nicholas. Once again, episode 14. We have gone 14 long episodes without being called tribalistic or shill. Drew, I am so excited about that. How are you doing today?
I have to be honored to just not be called a shill by the IWC, but no, absolutely every single thing about the wrestling business known to man. So
they know everything. And I mean everything, I mean they know nothing. But anyway, welcome to the show, man. We have a lot of news today. Like a lot of stuff's going on. MLW and the WWE, they finally settled that lawsuit where MLW recently secured a $20 million settlement in their antitrust lawsuit against the WWE. And God, the promotion has seemed to be financially poised to bring in a lot of names and a lot, I mean a lot of names. I'm talking about like massive like professional wrestlers, ring announcers, commentators. I mean, the world is their oyster right now. You know, when they're trying to like have these landmark deals, they're trying to get with Vice TV and with Tubi. And after nearly 2 years of wrangling with the WWE, they finally reached their settlement in December of 2023, which brings them very close to what they, in my opinion, can become a major force in professional wrestling. I mean, $20 million is not a lot of money in this industry, but for a company like MLW, that's a lot of money with a lot of talent that they can bring in. Court Bauer is going to be doing a lot. And, you know, Court Bauer has had projects with Strikeforce, MMA Strikeforce. So he's got his eyes on someone that has been around the professional wrestling and combat sports scene for a very long time.
Yes. And because of that $20 million coming into the company, it's very possible Mr. Mamma Mia himself, Mauro Ranallo, joins MLW for a commentary role. So because MLW have a lot of money to spend, and it seems like they might just invest in their commentary team, exploring the possibility of bringing in Mauro Ranallo, with talks underway for a potential collaboration between the two. Ranallo is known, of course, for his work outside of wrestling in the MMA world, but within wrestling had his few years in WWE, and he could be making a comeback to wrestling commentating with MLW if they agree to terms, the two of them. So,
I mean, the guy was amazing. Really awesome. The guy was amazing at commentary, man. Like, Jesus Christ, he was so good. He made you feel like he made you excited. Like, just having him on commentary, the things that he would say, he would get so excited to where it was like, even if it was a shit match, like, he made that match 100% better. So.
And he came in at an interesting time because, you know, for those who might just be tuning into WWE for the past 3-4 years, maybe, Michael Cole was not as beloved as he is right now.
And, oh, that's an understatement.
and Mauro Ranallo was there at a time where Michael Cole was at peak not being, you know, accepted by many in the wrestling community.
Yeah.
As fans for the most part. Because as you know, he had his heel days back in the early 2010s. And then
with his laptop,
yeah,
the anonymous general manager, just to say.
And he was not well liked by WWE fans and people who tuned into WWE. So Ranallo was a breath of fresh air, particularly around the time of the CWC,
exactly,
the classic. With Daniel Bryan at the time. That was just phenomenal. Got so much praise from so many people, Mauro Ranallo did. And, of course, he had departed WWE, I believe it was around 20, it doesn't say in the story, but I believe it was, oh no, it was in 2020, he departed from WWE. I thought it was earlier than that. I thought it was like 2018, 2019. But yeah, the challenge, he said the challenging nature of WWE made it difficult for his mental well-being. He was on commentary with, I believe it was Jerry Lawler and JBL. And he was playing like, you know, the baby face, because I remember at that time, Jerry Lawler was starting to go a little bit heel. And JBL, well, is JBL. And he left that commentary team and went back to combat sports and now could potentially be joining MLW. So that's a really exciting story.
So really quick, I had to do a little bit of investigating before. Let me go ahead and say this real quick. Let me go ahead and thank this person. Thank you for the follow, sir.
Uh-oh, who are we thanking?
So you know how, like, oh, you get, like, these Facebook follows from these accounts, and they're fake accounts, and you're just like, eh, this can't be who it is. This can't be who it is. Okay. So a couple of days ago, I got a request on Facebook. So I start doing a little investigative reporting myself, and one Phillip Brooks started a Facebook page, an actual, factual, true to form Facebook page. So naturally, I'm like, yeah, this is some bullshit. Let's go ahead and let's look it up. Right. So former Fox analyst, Chicago, Illinois, married, blah, blah, blah. I go looking here. And then I see some people that are friends with this person. They're the actual factual people that I know for a fact. So I click on another one. I'm like, nah, that cannot be this person. That, oh my God, it really is. So then I go look again. Like, wait a second. So I contact some WWE contacts that I have, and sure enough, this is the true, actual, factual. Phillip Brooks has followed me on Facebook.
Wow.
Yeah. don't know how to wow, okay, because I've made the big time. Well, shit. Anyway, speaking of Phillip Brooks,
thank you, Mr. Yeah. Phillip Brooks, for following Bad Blood on you know, yeah. Phillip Brooks sounds like a very important person.
Yeah, I mean, some may say he's a punk, but I don't know, maybe Chicago made, who knows. But speaking of Mr. Phillip Brooks, another amazing legendary athlete who recently retired, oh, well, 2-3 weeks ago, maybe. The Icon Sting is going to be given a prestigious honor this year at the Cauliflower Alley Club, which is a professional wrestling organization out of Las Vegas that honors certain, you know, specific wrestlers for certain things. It's like a convention every year we go to. If you haven't gone to it, then you're just not a professional wrestler at all. But Sting is being honored with the Iron Mike Award. He's going to be the 2024 Iron Mike Award recipient. Last year was none other than CM Punk who received the award, as did legendary wrestler Alundra Blaze, Medusa Miceli, as you may know her back in the day. In 2016, we had Trish Stratus get all types of stratisfaction with that award. And then we had, oh, hell yeah, in 2012, Stone Cold Steve Austin, he won that award as well. So that is going to be a freaking honor to be at the Cauliflower Alley Club in Las Vegas, Nevada, to watch the Icon Sting receive this award. Man, just great things happen.
You'll be there.
I definitely will be at Cauliflower Alley this year.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, we'll talk about it off air. Maybe you can fly in. It's a great experience. If you're a professional wrestler or you're in wrestling media, it is better than being at WrestleMania. Ask The Rock's mom. She's there all the time. Literally every year The Rock's mom is there, and she's such a nice lady. So speaking of AEW, I believe AEW has a new champion.
has more than one new champion.
Well, more than one champion, but we're not talking about Cope. We're talking about the other guy.
We're talking about a very special person named Kazuchika Okada. I'm making sure that I say that correctly.
Kazuchika Okada. You did it. You did it right, Drew.
Okada. He had his first singles match as a member of the AEW roster against Eddie Kingston this past Wednesday on Dynamite for the Continental, what is it called? The Continental Championship.
It's a Continental Championship.
Continental Championship. And it was a really great match. Okada, with some help from certain people.
Well, I mean, I don't know there was help from certain people because the Continental Classic, the Continental Championship rules state that your manager and or faction members or whatever cannot be there. Everyone's barred from ringside.
Okay. So I won't say that they helped them that in that match, but I know that they were planning this leading up to it.
There were plots.
They were wearing Eddie Kingston down with a bunch of matches.
There are plots. There are more plots than in the cemetery in this match, I'm telling you.
And this is a really fun match. And Okada ended up winning his first title in AEW, the Continental Championship, which then, as we heard from Tony Khan, broke the Continental Championship away from the Ring of Honor Championship and the Ring of Honor World Championship and the New Japan Strong Championship.
Now, see, we talked about this on the podcast on Wednesday night, and we've been talking about this. Me and Julian talked about this in extensive like lengths at one time. So the Continental Championship was the AEW's version of a Triple Crown title. So it was the New Japan Strong Openweight Championship, the Ring of Honor World Championship, and that combined created the Continental Championship. So now that Okada is the Continental Champion 3 weeks after his AEW debut, he's the AEW Continental Champion. The title has Continental Championship specific rules, like the Ring of Honor's pure title have all these specific rules. Now, Eddie Kingston is defending the Ring of Honor World Championship at Final Battle, Supercard of Honor. I'm sorry, at Supercard of Honor WrestleMania weekend. So, like I said before, Okada left New Japan Pro Wrestling, signed an exclusive deal with AEW. So why would you put a New Japan championship on a guy who left New Japan to come to AEW exclusively? So Tony Khan created this Triple Crown championship just to split it up, which makes no sense to me. That's like me saying, hey, Drew, I'm going to give you the Roundtable Network News Championship, and then we're just going to not have it next week.
We'll merge it with the TNT title
On TBS.
And the Blue Universal Championship. We'll merge them all together, but then you're going to win it, and then it's going to be taken away from those.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. But such is life. Professional wrestling, right? But,
you know, those rankings came back, and then they quickly went away, too. So.
What rankings? Sweet. We're not going to talk about those rankings.
Yeah. So, you know, listen. I understood where Tony Khan was going with it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have, like, particularly with the rankings, but when you have these two major signings coming in, I just don't know if you can stick to the rankings at that moment, because how do you not get titles on those huge signings quickly? And if you can't do that if you have a ranking system and they have to start at the bottom, you know what I mean? So I get it. I understand. Because, for example, because this is going to tie into something that I'm going to bring up right now. We had the bracket come out for the vacated AEW World Tag Team Championship.
Mm-hmm.
And a specific team was not involved in that bracket.
Yeah.
Which was a winning team.
Undefeated team, actually.
And that, I'm talking, of course, of Blackpool Combat Club's Claudio Cagnoli and John Moxley, who beat FTR at Revolution, but then the bracket for this vacated tag team championship is coming out, and FTR is on the bracket and not Claudio and John Moxley.
They didn't even have to qualify for the bracket. They were already seated.
Like, that's a bit weird. So, 2 days ago, FIFO Select reported more on John Moxley's absence from AEW. John Moxley has been uncharacteristically absent, which is something that I think I even pointed out.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day.
We talked about it the other day, yeah. So many readers were contacting FIFO asking, what's going on with John Moxley? Why is John Moxley absent from TV? John Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli haven't been included in the tag team title tournament after beating FTR. Why is that? So FIFO cannot speak to the booking decisions in particular, but FIFO learned that as of this time, time off is planned for John Moxley.
About time.
Yeah, but the thing is that he's not really taking time off from wrestling. He's got upcoming bookings in Mexico next week, as well as in Japan the following week. So that would impede on the tournament that's going on right now.
I mean, he's got time off from AEW, so he's got that PTO built up. I get it.
Right. So his match in Mexico was planned over a month ago, and at that point he would not have been available to participate in the tournament, which makes me wonder if they knew that already. Why didn't FTR win at Revolution?
You know,
I don't know.
Playing devil's advocate here. Why didn't FTR win? Or, you know, the Blackpool Combat Club has always been like the Freebirds. You know, Freebird rules, BCC right. rules. Where is Wheeler Yuta?
Well, he's been injured for a while, but I haven't seen any updates on him lately.
Exactly. You know, I mean, why isn't Brian Danielson in this tag team tournament? I mean, I know he's got this big match going with Will Ospreay, which is going to be phenomenal.
Yes, but that would kind of also telegraph that they wouldn't have won.
In the yeah. Game. Yeah.
Although that weird segment last week with FTR and the Infantry kind of made it obvious that who was going to win, you know, the match between House of Black and them. So it's like, oh, okay, I could see where this was going already. Which is fine. I mean, somehow.
The Infantry wins the AEW World Tag Team titles.
That would shock me.
That right. Look, let me tell you something. As a professional wrestler and a person who's booked shows for over almost 30 years, shock and awe would definitely bring the fans in. When the Infantry won their match against the House of Black, we were watching it live, and we were like, yo, what just happened? Like, oh shit. Like, that right there is what makes wrestling look like a real sport in the eyes of the IWC.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't hate it because I actually like the
Infantry. I didn't hate it either. I mean, I love Sean Dean, great guy. But geez, no one expected that. And you know, like WWE has had this formula that you know who's going to win their matches because it's painfully obvious. You know who's going to. There's no secrets, no shock and awe, right?
For the most,
and AEW was created with the premise of being professional wrestling, and on any given Wednesday, anything could happen. Shocking debuts. Right. Shocking title match, like shocking winners of title matches. Like, you would never expect this stuff, right? What if Danhausen goes out and defeats MJF for the world championship? We would never expect that, right?
No, never.
You know what I'm saying? Never. But if it happened, we'd be like, oh shit, now we got to come back and watch this next week to see what happens. That's how you draw fans. So AEW with the shock and awe with that tag team match, kind of like, in my opinion, it flipped the bracket because now you're like, well, this is like March Madness over here. Like, which team is going to win? You know, is Villanova going to beat USC?
Maybe the Infantry beat FTR.
if that exactly, you know, and that right there would spark the House of Black FTR feud all over again. But that's right. Just me. That's just me. I think outside the box.
And the very first tournament for the AEW Tag Team Championship in 2019 saw the Young Bucks face Private Party, and nobody thought Private Party was going to win that match.
And I was so excited when Private Party won that match. I was like, oh, hell yeah. This right here is what? Shock and awe.
Yeah.
So, but, you
know. There was what else we got here?
Well, we got some huge contract. Yeah, some huge contract offers to talent. Things continue to change in TNA, man. The promotion started at Hard to Kill about 2 months ago and rebranded. Scott D'Amore was removed as TNA president. Anthony Ciccione replaced him, leaving talent virtually pissed off at management. Yes. Last month, it was reported that TNA wrestling looked to do live weekly shows, TNA Impact on Access TV. That's going to be crazy. They haven't done a live show since the Jeff Jarrett, Vince Russo, let's do shows on Monday night era of TNA. We'll see how that turned out. But as previously reported, the Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, they were working Smash Wrestling in London, Ontario. Well, they will be working Smash Wrestling in London, Ontario on April 21st. That is the same day that Rebellion's TV tapings, the Rebellion pay-per-view, the next day, the TV tapings are going to be taping that day. So their deals are believed to be up this month. And this booking date kind of indicates that they won't be around TNA for the pay-per-view or the TV tapings. Now, Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful Select reported that sources near TNA said they believe that that it was true in regards to their contracts were being their contracts were up. They also reported that we were told the TNA offers of late have been categorically different than the many people would have expected, especially after some of the talent meetings that they held recently over the last few months. They've heard that talent that some talent have been offered predates by TNA instead of the full time dates. So. Per dates. So basically it's like, hey, we have 5 dates we can offer you, just like on the indies. I have 5 dates I can offer you, and this is as far as these 5 dates can go for now. So what is going on in TNA? I mean, the Motor City Machine Guns previously announced they had signed a new deal with TNA, and that was back in March of 2023. It is now March of 2024.
Yeah, that was a 1-year deal, it seems.
I mean, is that the deadline for that date is coming up. I mean, you know, what's today? Today is the... Oh, wait, it's today!
Wow. 23rd.
Wow, 1 year ago today they signed that deal. So are they done? Are they not done? I mean, things inside TNA are just flip-flopping, man. And I don't know if it's Anthem. I don't know like what TNA... I mean, they started out big this year. Like, dude, they started out huge. Things that changed, I just don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tying into that also. Two big former TNA stars returned at the Philadelphia tapings last night. Matt Cardona and Steph DeLander, who are a tag team. Steph DeLander, one half of Fightful, this is coming from Fightful Select. Fightful Award-winning Indie Act of the Year, Steph DeLander and Matt Cardona. She made her TNA return on Friday's tapings in Philadelphia. And during the match, Matt Cardona ran in to help her. So there's been, as you said, you know, there's been much made about TNA offering per-date deals or contracts to talent as of late. And Cardona parted ways with the company over a year ago. He did not wish to sign a contract with them, and he is, as of right now, still a free agent.
The Indie God.
The Indie God is still a free agent and is on a per-appearances agreement at the moment. And he gave a quote to Fightful that says, "Always, then, now, forever." Quote me on that.
I mean, that sounds like some hints at a WWE return.
Hmm. Potential. That is a potential. But as of right now, he is, as Fightful reported, a free agent on a per appearance agreement. So a lot, MLW, TNA, making some big moves, doing a lot of different things. One of them getting an influx of money. Maybe Matt Cardona decides to go to MLW.
Maybe. Can you imagine Matt Cardona, MLW World Champion?
I mean, yeah. there's a lot of potential.
Court Bauer has the money right now. He can bring in some guys like that. I mean, if Matt Cardona went to MLW, of course, obviously, he would be like a huge act there. Steph DeLander, huge act. In the Machine Guns, you bring them there for the first time outside of TNA. I mean, their careers have basically been TNA.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, there's been some New Japan stuff, but they've literally been a TNA team. It's almost like, remember when Sting was all WCW and NWA and never went anywhere else? Like, man, can you imagine?
Even he went to WWE.
Yeah, even he went to WWE, you know, but the influx of people, but he also went to TNA.
That's right.
You know, the influx of talent right now in the indie scene is crazy, 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 crazy. It's almost like people talking about Bloodsport. Let's talk about Bloodsport.
Let's talk about
the true Forbidden Door. Because there's a lot of Forbidden Door news today. Let's talk about WWE superstar Shayna Baszler taking on Masha Slamovich, officially announced for Josh Barnett's Bloodsport WrestleMania weekend. Bloodsport has had numerous people. They've had Matt Riddle. They've had Jon Moxley.
I believe they've even Josh had Barnett. Matt Cardona.
Yeah, they've had Matt Cardona. Josh Barnett has said he'd love to have someone like Chad Gable. He'd love to have someone like Pac. He'd love to have like some super, super talented, like real amateur wrestlers or fighters on these shows. At one time, he wanted to have CM Punk there.
Yeah.
So, damn.
I mean, now that they're, you know, we talk about a Forbidden Door with AEW and New Japan and CMLL, but man, this is. It's almost the real Forbidden Door, in a sense.
I mean, the door is kicking.
No,
right
no,
open.
No shade to AEW here, but you know, WWE was not going to do business with anybody with Vince McMahon at the top.
Oh yeah, yeah. People talk about that all the time. At one time, the WWE worked a deal with AAA, and it was for several AAA stars to appear at the Royal Rumble, and Mio Mascaris. Legend in Mexico, like the legend in Mexico. I mean, not the Rey Mysterios, not the Peroth, not the Sin Caras, not the you know, the Emilio Charles, none of those names, the Atlantis, none of those names compared to Mio Mascaris. And Mio Mascaris was like, yo, ain't nobody throw me out of the Rumble. I'll just cross body somebody on my way out. So WWE has had a very storied history with not working with other companies. They would rather buy that company and not work with them. But Triple H is really talking about that global expansion. The guy has brought NXT UK, which is formerly NXT. It's going to be NXT Europe now. NXT Mexico. He's working deals with Japan. He's working, you know, so like he's really kicking the door wide open for this expansion. TKO Sports. This new era in the WWE, and ladies and gentlemen, before we go any further on the WWE shell, if I like something, I like it. If I don't, then I don't. If I like something from AEW, I do. If I don't, then I don't. I'm not going to politic. I'm not going to be one of those guys that follows and praises one company over another company, because guess what? It's professional wrestling. All of it sucks sometimes.
You can love what you love and you can hate what you hate.
Exactly. And I'm one of those people that will tell you, God, I love that, or God, that fucking sucked. Like, that's me. So, come for me, IWC. I do not care, because that is me and it is all me. And if you don't like it, then you know what? There it is.
We all need one of those buttons.
I got several here. but
we should get into some WWE news since we're talking about WWE.
Dude, speaking of WWE news, let's talk about something that we haven't seen since December of 2020. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
The WWE introduced this award ceremony back in March of 1986, and it aired on MTV. And throughout the past four decades, SummerSlam, WrestleMania, the Royal Rumble, all these names are synonymous with this award. The Slammy Awards are back, ladies and gentlemen. Slammy. And this year, the WWE are releasing several categories and nominees. We're going to start with Female Superstar of the Year. Right now, we got Rhea Ripley, The Eradicator. We got Bianca Belair, the EST. We got your role model, Bayley. We got Io Sky, and we got Becky Lynch. Those are the names that are up for Female Superstar of the Year. I still think they need to have Nia Jax in there, but that's just me. Male Superstar of the Year, we got Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, Seth freaking Rollins, Logan Paul, and Gunther. Best Entrance. In other words, the most pyro you'll ever get. Cody Rhodes. We got Roman Reigns with his 20-minute entrance. Seth freaking Rollins, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch, Dominic Mysterio's WrestleMania 39 entrance, which I loved.
Okay, that was good.
He should have came shackled and all that stuff. But anyway, and believe it or not, the final boss, The Rock.
I know what I'm voting for.
I that's why I waited till last to say that one. He was actually third on the list. Return of the Year, Naomi. You want to feel the glow? We got Randy Orton, Nia Jax.
He obviously knows who's gonna win this one.
CM Punk.
That one.
And the final boss, The Rock.
I know who I'm voting for, but
dang it.
I know it's awesome now.
It's a toss-up now. Faction of the Year. We got the Alpha Academy. We got Imperium. We got Damage Control. We got the Judgment Day. And we got the Bloodline.
Okay. Out of all of those, I mean, the Alpha Academy is fun. They're fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Judgment Day has had its ups and downs. Lord knows the Bloodline has had its ups and downs. But yeah, out of all that, I gotta throw up the one.
Gotta throw up the ones, baby. Rivalry of the Year. We got R-Truth versus the Judgment Day. Naturally, that's gonna be my choice.
I agree.
Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. Bianca Belair versus Damage Control. Dirty Dom versus Rey Mysterio. Seth freaking Rollins versus DM. What do you call himself? A DM Punk, Drew McIntyre.
Although that could be close. That might actually win.
Now for our boy Throwback, who sweats the balls of this company, NXT Superstar of the Year, Ilya Dragunov, Carmelo Hayes, Lia Valkyria, Braun. Everyone thinks he's ready for the main roster breaker, and the lady who I'm going to vote for, she's always on the tippy top, Tiffany Stratton.
She's on the tippy top.
Yeah, the tippy top. Match of the Year, Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest.
Oh, that's a good one.
Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley.
I don't care.
Charlotte Flair versus Bianca Belair versus Asuka.
Yeah, that was good.
Gunther versus Chad Gable, Raw, September 4th. Roman Reigns versus Sami Zayn at Elimination Chamber. But Damian Priest versus Bad Bunny in that San Juan Street Fight at Backlash was a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, I am one of those guys that will say I'm sorry. I do not have a problem admitting I was wrong, but I thought that match was going to be shit-tastic. I thought Bad Bunny was going to be horrible. That was a very, very, very planned out, entertaining match. Like I was utterly stunned at how good Bad Bunny really is.
I think I would vote for that, honestly.
I honestly would vote for that. Shout out to Damian Priest, man. Like, dude, Damian Priest, geez. Oh my God, moment of the year. Rey Mysterio punches Dominic Mysterio, SmackDown, March 24th. Io Sky cashes in Money in the Bank contract. The Rock slaps the taste out of Cody Rhodes' mouth.
Oh, I know what I'm
doing. Damage Control turns on Bayley. Cody slaps The Rock. Or everyone's favorite, and this is probably going to win. CM Punk returns to the WWE.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Survivor Series 2023. Because we were all, I mean, that is the most watched clip in WWE history on YouTube. We literally sat here and we were like, oh, show's over. Thank you very much for watching our SummerSlam. Oh my God, CM Punk. That was so great. I've never marked out so hard in my entire life was the fact that I was in mid sentence and I was like, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the round. Oh my God, it's CM Punk.
I was saying that like on a Tuesday, the Tuesday before that
you
show.
You said that a week before. I'm gonna tell you, a week before on a Monday Night Raw, we were like, it's the week before of the Rumble. I mean, week before Survivor Series, and you know, this guy, and I was like, what if CM Punk comes back? And you were like, what if CM Punk comes back? We're like, nah, that ain't gonna happen. You're like, what if he shows up at the Survivor Series at the end? And I was like, I mean, it's Chicago. And I said, you know, the IWC is going to melt down if he doesn't show up. And I was like, oh, my God. Yeah.
And I put to my Firmly AEW co-host, I was DMing him on Twitter, mm-hmm. JPJ. And then I said it was like midweek or something. I was like, I think Punk's showing up. And he didn't even believe it. Nobody believed it.
We're going to stop doubting you, Drew. You're like Nostradamus here. Stop doubting the Drew Nicholas.
It was not reported that it was happening, and a lot of people were shutting it down. And I'm like, I don't know.
It was crazy, but you were right. Social media star of the year. Are you ready for this? Liv Morgan. Chelsea Green. Drew McIntyre. Drew's been pretty good on social media.
I'm voting for him right now.
Yeah. Grayson Waller from the Waller Effect. And everyone's favorite social media douchebag, Logan Paul.
Oh, well, unfortunately, he'll probably end up winning. But it should be Drew McIntyre. Although it really should be The Rock.
Lately, yeah. Breakout star of the year. We're going to start with LA Knight.
Breakout star of the year. He's on Breakout Star of the Year.
Hey, the dude's been around for like 15 years. I don't understand. Anyway, Dragon Lee.
Right now, before you even continue, that's going to go to Tiffany Stratton.
Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah.
Jey Uso or Yes Boy. Pretty Deadly.
What is Jey Uso doing on there?
I have no idea, but he's there. That's the Slammy Award for you.
Unless there is there a Rookie of the Year or something?
No.
Oh,
so Breakout Star of the Year, Social Star of the Year, Oh My God, Moment of the Year, Match of the Year, NXT Superstar of the Year, Rivalry of the Year, Faction of the Year, Return of the Year, Best Entrance of the Year, Male Superstar of the Year, Female Superstar of the Year. No tag team. Of course, it's WWE, so who cares?
But I'm thinking, okay, breakout star must mean an up-and-comer that you're...
Because usually in the world of professional wrestling, when you're a breakout star, that means you're new and you are breaking out. Not someone who's been around for fucking 20 years, who's been in UPW, Ultimate Pro Wrestling in California, who's been in MLW, who's been in AEW, who's been in WWE, who's been in CML. Like, if you've been around and you've been around for years, like, you're not a breakout star.
Yeah. So,
Tiffany Stratton, she's been around for what? 2 years, maybe?
Or LA Knight win that? That makes no sense at all.
None at all. But then again, you know, it's not really voted on by the fans. So, go figure. Let me do a quick update on Afa the Wild Samoan. WWE Hall of Famer Afa Anoa'i of the Wild Samoans was slated to undergo surgery on March 19th. To repair a fracture in his back, but the surgery was postponed. Before the fall that caused all the fractures in Anoa'i's back, he was slated to undergo a heart valve replacement surgery.
Oh.
So doctors are working to decide if they should do the heart valve surgery first or repair his back. So thoughts and prayers to Anoa'i family, to Afalawa Samoan, someone I grew up watching as a kid, someone that my parents grew up watching. You know, shout out to the Anoa'i family, and yeah.
So in other WWE news, John Porco, EVP of Live Events, has left WWE. It's come from Mike Johnson's PW Insider. John Porco held the title of Executive Vice President of Live Events for WWE, exited the company last month, PW Insider has confirmed. Porco had been with the company from June
1999. Wow.
Originally as a public relations coordinator. He moved to the live events department in 2002, working as director of marketing from that point until 2022, and then was named senior vice president of live events marketing. So he was named EVP of live events in May of 2022, has left the company last month. That's a long career with this company. Wow.
Man. That's one thing about WWE is when you work there, you work there. Like it's not like a
Jim Johnson always, worked there.
Yeah.
Kevin Dunn worked there.
Yeah. I would say like a job is just over broke. That's a career. Like you are a lifer in WWE. Speaking of WWE, post wrestling, Andrew Thompson talked to Eric Redbeard, who weighed an idea of the Wyatt family being inducted into the Hall of Fame. April 1st is going to be one of those WWE exclusives when it comes to, they're doing a series on Bray Wyatt. Yeah. And I saw the commercial with Bo Dallas. Dude, tears are going to, I think we should watch it live on the show for a reaction. So tears can flow. Cause Jesus Christ, man, just the commercial with Bo Dallas made me tear up a little bit. Like I was like, wow, yeah. Man, you know, I've never met Bray Wyatt. Wyndham Rotunda, I've never met him in person, never had any interaction with him in the world of professional wrestling, and I've had interaction with a lot of people, but I've never had interaction with him. But he touched me in a way that, like, you know, like Jesus Christ, like Bruiser Brody, Dusty Rhodes, like guys that, you know, big brawler guys like that, that had like a tender heart and was a really good mind for wrestling. Man, Brody Lee, guys, Jesus Christ, man, there's so much. But Eric Redbeard, who was part of the Wyatt family, had this to say. Redbeard is appreciative of the fans putting it out there as to who would induct them into the Hall of Fame. Redbeard explained that he's not thinking about something like that. No, he's quoting and saying this. No, I mean, I'm not really surprised that people push for the Wyatt family to go into the Hall of Fame. When I feel a faction touches people's lives, I've seen how John's impacted people's lives. I see how Wyndham's impacted people's lives. So just for the people to say it's humbling to know that we made such a lasting impact on people. I wouldn't even begin to think about it. Who would induct us into the Hall of Fame? It is so soon since everything with the passings of both John and Wyndham to even think about something like that. It's just ridiculous to me. But so it's just something that hasn't really crossed my mind. I wouldn't even begin to think about it. Me personally, I think JoJo would be the one to induct him into the Hall of Fame.
Or Bo, honestly.
Bo? Yeah, Bo would be great.
Yeah.
Maybe I mean, JoJo and Bo. Maybe you bring
it's
in...
It'll be a tearjerker.
Maybe you bring in...
I mean, their father, Mike...
Yeah.
Rotunda.
And their father and their uncle going to the Hall of Fame. You know, that's why I thought it was really cute that the U.S. Express, Mike Rotunda and Barry Wyndham, are getting inducted into the Hall of Fame because you got Wyndham Rotunda right there.
Right. Yeah.
You know, such as words.
We'll see them. As of right now, there have been, I believe, 5 names announced. There's been U.S. Express, Paul Heyman, Rock's grandmother, I think, right?
Yeah. Then you got Aja Kong.
And I think, was it one other person or no?
Aja Kong.
Aja Kong, okay. So 4 people.
No, I'm sorry,
Bull Nakano,
my bad. Bull Nakano, she's the one.
So but 4 you know people who's not, have been announced so far.
But
so there could be a 5th.
There could be a fifth. But you know who hasn't been announced? The man who was formerly known as Elias, who is now going by Elijah, was the focus of a Q&A for Love of Wrestling podcast via the Monopoly event. He touched on the balance between wrestling and his non-wrestling segments in the WWE. He said there was a lot of frustrations at time, but he knew how amazing it was to for him to generate so much reaction he was getting even without wrestling.
Oh, yes. The very, very, very popular segment with him and Kevin Owens.
Oh, my God. Just the whole, what does WWE stand for? Walk with Elias. That was great.
He was very entertaining.
He was really
I it started to, you know, go down a little bit when the Ezekiel stuff started.
That was stupid.
I didn't enjoy that at all. But you know, I would be interested in, you know, seeing him wrestle more if he decides that he wants to do that. I don't think has he wrestled at all since
I don't think he's actually had any matches recently. I mean, I don't know. I really haven't kept up on him too much, but I mean, it is what it is, you know. Like, he was a great entertainer. He was a great entertainer. I'll put you that way. He did a lot. Yeah. He really put himself over a lot by really doing nothing, which is great. Sometimes in wrestling, you do big things. Sometimes you just don't do shit, and you can get over either way.
So our final story of the day, I think you want to talk about Stardom.
Oh, no, you go ahead and do that. I'm going to pull up today in wrestling history.
Of course. Oh, yes, that's right. That's our famous last segment of the show.
I love wrestling that. History.
And I don't know any birthdays for today. So let's see. So Stardom American Dream 2024. Is going to be coming to Philly for WrestleMania weekend, April 4th. It has Willow Nightingale, Mariah May, Stephanie Vaccour, I believe is how you pronounce that, and Zaya Brookside have been set for that show on April 4th. I believe it's a Thursday, Thursday of WrestleMania week. Mm-hmm. The first time since 2019, Stardom is going to be holding an event outside of Japan. April 4th will be the date of the Stardom American Dream 2024 show in the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia.
That's ECW Arena for people who don't know.
That's right. They are hosting that show, and there have been additional talent announcements, adding AEW, TNA, and CMLL representation. Among those announced are, of course, as I mentioned, Willow Nightingale, Mariah May, NJPW Strong Women's Champion Stephanie Vaccour. I hope I'm pronouncing that right again. Sorry if I'm not. And Zaya Brookside. Now, a full list of announced talent for that April 4th, 2024 show. This is probably not a good thing for me to do because I'm probably going to butcher some of these names.
That's why I let you do it.
I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to Kazuchika Okada. Okay, here we go. List of talents announced. Saya Kamitani.
Sure.
Did I say that right?
Sure.
Okay. Tam Nakano. Saki Kashima. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Micah. May Sarah. Konami. Saki. Ram Kaicho. Mayu Iwatani. Iwatani, maybe. Momo Kogo. AZM. No idea if that stands for something or if it's just AZM. I don't know. Starlight Kid. Hey, that one. Yeah. I know.
You got that one right.
Yeah. Momo Watanabe. Yuri Mina Shikarawa.
Oh, Shikarawa.
Rakawa. Shirakawa. I I can be dyslexic sometimes. I'm sorry. And the four names that I mentioned previously, Willow Nightingale, Mariah May, Stephanie Vaccour, and Zaya Brookside. If I butchered your name, I sincerely apologize. I'm just looking at these names now for the first time. I also just sound very white when I say things. So that's why I don't say Spanish names either. So, so that will be on April 4th, WrestleMania week, Stardom's American Dream 2024. And there may be more announced. This is an all women show.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be exciting.
Stardom is a great promotion. There's been a lot of change in the guard, so to speak, at Stardom. So this is Stardom's first foray outside of the United States for a WrestleMania weekend. And it's been crazy. Like I said, the world of professional wrestling has changed so much over the course of the last, 90 days. Yeah. I mean, it's March 23rd, ladies and gentlemen, and the news has not stopped trucking along. It's just been crazy.
So we've talked about what's currently going on in the wrestling, but let's see what happened on this day, March 23rd, in the past.
Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready for this? Ladies and gentlemen, 2001, in 2001, the announcement that shook the wrestling world happened on March 23rd, 2001, the WWF, World Wrestling Federation Entertainment at the time, announced the purchase of what? World Championship Wrestling. The last WCW, the purchase was done and over with. The WWE finally defeated WCW in the Monday Night Wars after beating them, showed up on Monday Nitro with the contract in hand to set the name on the contract says McMahon. But it says Shane McMahon. What a great storyline that was. Also, ladies and gentlemen, on this day, March 23rd, 1997, live at the Rosemont Horizon with the attendance of 18,211 people, it was WrestleMania 13. Wow, that's crazy. That WrestleMania 13 happened today. Also, on this day, 1979, Ray Gordy, son of Bam Bam Terry Gordy, brother of Miranda Gordy, who wrestled in the WWE under the name of Jesse and Festus, was born. 1984, Ric Flair defeated Harley Race to win the NWA World Heavyweight title in New Zealand. And that was one of the pair of the forgotten title changes that happened. So Ric Flair has a championship title reign that was never talked about because it was forgotten in history, but it happened March 23rd, 1984.
We don't forget history here.
We don't. 1992, Brian Christopher. Do you know who Brian Christopher is? One half of Too Cool.
Oh, okay. Got it.
The son of Jerry the King Lawler.
Yes.
Defeated Jimmy Valiant to become the USWA Southern Heavyweight Champion in Memphis, Tennessee. That will be the first of 25 title runs with that title for Brian Christopher. 25-time USWA Southern Heavyweight Champion. Jesus Christ. Mexican legend Viano 3 was born March 23rd, 1952. Former WCW valet Madeja, one third of the Big Bad Booty Daddy's clique, Scott Steiner's clique. She was born March 23rd, 1970. Wow. A third member of the Road Warriors, Hiroshi Tenza, was born March 23rd, 1971. And Tamiko was born 1976 today. Ladies and gentlemen, March 23rd has had a lot of history. It's also the day major that moments. The major moments. The Rock as Rocky Maivia defends the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania against the Sultan, the man who will later become Umaga. Yeah, there's a lot of things that happened today, man. The day in professional wrestling history, man. Just geez, man. AJ Lee with Bryan Danielson, or with Daniel Bryan, took on Brie Bella with Nikki. Yeah, it was the match that AJ kissed. Or Bryan gave AJ a kiss. Like, look at that, man.
Oh yeah.
Just there's a Hornswoggle. Look, it was also where Jack Swagger was with Vicky Guerrero. And they took on Zack Ryder with Hornswoggle.
We don't need to talk about that. We don't need to talk about that.
Well, Zack Ryder won that match. I wonder what happened to that guy, Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we had Big Show versus Kane. Just a lot of craziness happened. Big Show won by disqualification. You know, today was the day that Brodus Clay and the Funkadactyls. Oh man, there's just, like I said, a lot of things happened on this WrestleMania day. I wonder what
happened to Brodus Clay.
You know, I wonder what happened to that guy. Yeah, who cares? He's probably off doing some stuff on Fox News. Who knows? Who knows? But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us for another live edition of the Roundtable Network News. Or the Drew Nicholas. I'm the franchise. Remember, guys, go like, click, and subscribe. And one thing that's for certain about life is that the news does not stop.
Thanks,
it does not stop. Yes. Have a good day, ladies and gentlemen.